This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. The Wilderness Act turns 40 today. The law provides the strongest protection possible to more than 100 million acres of land in the United States. While many Americans will never get beyond the edges of these wild places, there is solace for some in simply knowing they exist. In the second of two reports, NPR's Elizabeth Arnold takes us on a National Geographic radio expedition to one of the most remote places in the country, the Brooks Range of Alaska in Gates of the Arctic National Park.
About all I can tell you is we're 100 miles north of the Arctic Circle in a small floatplane, and we're landing on an unnamed lake in an unnamed pass on the Continental Divide. We're somewhere in 8.5 million acres of designated wilderness. And just flying in has been eventful, even for the pilot. Seconds before landing, we watched open-mouthed as a grizzly bear took down a caribou below us.
That was cool. He chased that caribou right down that hill and killed him at the bottom. We can offload right off the front of the float here.
We pile our gear, sleeping bags, tents, cook stoves, freeze-dried food, and bear spray, on a gravel beach edging the lake, surrounded by damp, spongy tundra that sweeps up and into an endless march of mountains in all directions. We can camp anywhere.
Right, well,
let's get the binoculars out, take a good look around here, see what we got.
Yeah.
I'm hoping there'll be a little flat ledge up there.
We're led by Dave Mills, the superintendent of this place, and even he has never been here before.
I'll tell you what, Dave, could you just give a little push back?
With a shove, the floatplane taxis to the far end of the lake, where a pair of red-throated loons watches with alarm.
You know, there's this feeling that you get when you're dropped into someplace big, someplace vast and wild, raw. And it hits you first, and it hits you hardest when the sound of that plane just starts to fade, and then it's gone.
It's empty right now. I load 4 in the magazine and I never have one in the chambers, but we'll just keep our eyes open out here. We've got lots of good visibility, and if we're alert, we can avoid any encounters.
Keeping careful watch for the bear, we decide to camp just above the lake. Our tents are tiny fluorescent specks in a broad, treeless expanse.
Every direction. It's just so huge.
The scale is humbling, and map reading is futile.
Now, your planned hike was...
Actually, I'll have to get the map out. I think that valley where I thought there might be glaciers and stuff might be that one, huh?
That one.
Is it? I'll have to look at the map.
I am really turned around. That's north.
He started cranking the plane around.
You're
the
superintendent of the park. You don't even
which
know.
Way?
You didn't awesome. Just give
that
map a note.
Which way did we come in? This way?
No, we came in
there. Dave Mills, the superintendent, has worked here for years, but is still in awe of the place. The next morning, he's both wary and relaxed, binoculars in one hand, camera in the other.
How do you even think about your job? I mean, how do you manage? You know, the word manage. How do you manage a place like this?
You know, management is kind of the wrong word. It's really understanding and trying to educate ourselves and other people about what's already here. And, you know, that's really our job, is just to let nature be nature here.
So where should we go?
I don't care. It's Bag of Pea. Pick one. We can name it after you.
Any direction.
You name any of these.
There are no man-made trails here, but there are ruts or paths left by hundreds of thousands of caribou that migrate through. They leave branch-sized bleached antlers in their wake, and the place has the feel of a boneyard from years of shedding. They move in scattered groups. Old bulls stand like sentries on the ridges, and the more curious approach us.
They're coming right toward us. Come close. It's like they can't figure out what we are.
These caribou have probably never seen humans, and this wilderness is so large that there's no need yet for permits limiting access. So for a few days, it's just us and the caribou out here, the weather and the wind. In his pack, Mills carries well-worn copies of books by Robert Marshall and Marty Murray, pioneers of this place. The pages are dog-eared and the passages are underlined in pencil. The notion of wilderness, Mills believes, is distinctly American.
Certainly, that idea, I think, came from America and part of the frontier, and as people moved west, they realized how this land was so fresh and that adventure of discovery was so important. That's certainly what Bob Marshall talked about, and many of the original wilderness advocates, was to protect that American heritage of frontier.
There's a rhythm to wilderness, and it's slow. We walk each day with no real destination, picking up skulls and feathers, crossing streams and climbing ridges carpeted with rust-colored lichen. The long Arctic sun doesn't set till well past midnight. The shadows of clouds move slowly across mile-wide valleys. The pace is glacial. Your pulse just seems to slow after a while. Much is written about the danger and excitement of wilderness, but there's also something calming about the solitude. Not that feeling vulnerable isn't part of it. We keep a close eye on the large cinnamon-colored grizzly nearby, still feeding off his kill.
You can see the main avalanche chute.
Yeah.
And then go down. It's right at the base of the mountain.
Oh, he's right on top of the kill there.
Right.
Oh, good. That's a little further away than I was imagining last night in my tent.
We give him a wide berth, but we come across other older kill sites. Each one is a story, bones and fur, foot-long prints in the mud, signs that wolves and eagles have fed on what's left, an uninterrupted cycle for thousands of years.
A lot of people are inspired and receive quite a bit of satisfaction. We hear this all the time, and just knowing that there's places out here that are wild and uninhabited and where these natural processes are allowed to evolve without the strong influence by human pressure. There's very few places on Earth left like this. The timing was critical on this.
Mills sees management of this wilderness as the last chance to do it right the first time.
This is a big statement here in terms of acreages, and I think it says a lot for the American people and our leaders to have given us that gift.
For Radio Expeditions, this is Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News.
Radio Expeditions is a co-production of NPR and the National Geographic Society. You can see photographs of the gates of the Arctic National Park at npr.org.